This is a spiritual reading being given for Nikki Gilbert on Saturday the 14th of March 2026 in Victoria, Australia by John Rawson. We stand within the hall of memory. And the Book of Life, Nikki, is given into our hands. The Book of Life is a metaphor. It contains, in symbolic form, a record of all the incarnations that you have so far lived on this earth. The book has a rather ornate, old-fashioned design on its cover, with its raised, embossed figures of leaves and other decorations in a square border, so it's like a very old book. And in the centre of the cover is a design. The design is a ruby sitting in a lotus flower, and as I see it, that's a real ruby, and it sits in the centre of the cover, and the artwork underneath looks to me like a lotus. And the colour of the cover is a light rose colour. And what that means, Nikki, is that when your soul came into incarnation in the very first place, many, many aeons ago, hundreds of thousands of years, that it came in with its own unique qualities and energies. So that colour, that light rose colour, we will see expressing itself from incarnation to incarnation. Not every life, but in other lives, in many, if not most, lives. And the meaning of that light rose, it's quite an interesting one. On the simplest level, it means sensitivity, that the soul is very sensitive to outside influences, to negative energies emanating or coming towards it. And I think with a soul with this particular quality, it's going to be a difficult task in life to achieve happiness and equanimity, stability, peace, calm, serenity, those sorts of qualities, because all the time you're picking up vibes, to use a new age expression, from all the people you come into contact with, and of course from all the people that you enter into relationships with, including your family. There is a purpose for this colour and this particular energy, type of energy that resonates all the time within you. And that's in the title, the soul name, if you like, on the cover of the book. Witches. And this is, the soul name as we see it, is the one who sacrifices their lifeblood from the heart. Now, that might sound quite traumatic, the one who sacrifices their lifeblood from the heart. But what it means is that you have the gift, if you like, of being able to emanate or manifest love towards other souls. And I was wondering why on earth, with this colour so strong, you'd be a behavioural therapist, because that doesn't seem to fit at all. But we'll have a look at the aura in a second, and then we'll understand more. So, from life to life, this quality, and I think I might almost call it a quality of service, sensitivity in the service, so to speak, of service, that you will feel called to assist other souls, to be there when they need help. The interesting thing is that the symbol, the ruby in the lotus, actually has a connection with the order that we know of as the Rosicrucian order. So we shall probably find lives that connect you to that particular spiritual order. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open the book, and it opens to the current incarnation. And here the soul has provided certain communications to us. On the right-hand side, it's created a picture of itself and of its purposes in this life. And on the left-hand side, there are a few lines, like a little verse. And these lines describe the purposes of this incarnation. And sometimes there's one main purpose with three different phases of manifestation. And sometimes there are three different purposes. So we shall see. First, though, as a general comment, let me say that you have come in the last 7 years, six years, to an ending of the past, a severing of certain ties within your life. And those ties are to do with karma. So I can see that you have strong karmic ties to both parents, father and mother, although it may well be that you're going to have more trouble with a relationship with your mother in the next year or so. Now, the thing is that when we come into incarnation, we do so, or our life divides into certain phases or periods. And the first phase of our life is when we, obviously, we come into incarnation as children and we have to grow up. And certain things happen there on the spiritual level. For example, you're placed with your family, which, by the way, you chose before you came into incarnation. So when you look at the relationship with your parents, either of them, you have to remember that this is what your soul designed you to experience. We may look at the karma between some of these people who are close to you in this life, but that will come out in the next little while. But this karma, well, you always have karma with your family, let's face it. You wouldn't be there if you didn't have karma with them. But in your case, the karma is quite explicit, and it is part of your sacred contract. And I'll explain that. Before we come into incarnation, souls have a consultation with the Lord of Karma. And depending upon the evolution of that soul, the spiritual growth it's experienced throughout its many, many incarnations, the soul gets a say. If it's reached a certain stage of awareness, which I think you have, or you did, then the soul gets to negotiate with the Lord of Karma and gets a say in what karma it wants to repay. So I can imagine the conversation going something like this. And Nikki says, I think I'd like to resolve my karma with this person. This is the person who I had slaughtered in the Middle Ages in a battle in Italy by pushing them out to go and fight and look after me. And I want to balance my karma with this other person who, when they were a priest and I was a bishop, I expelled from the church because they broke their vows of celibacy. And the Lord of Karma looks and he says, well, that's a lot of work, Nikki. Are you sure you want to take this on? And you say, with all the courage that you have, yes, I think I really need to do this. Both of them? Yes, I'm going to do it. Both of them. Lord of Karma says, well, it's a hell of a life you've just designed for yourself, but this is what we'll do. Since you betrayed or you hurt both these people when you're in positions of care, we are going to make them your parents. And that way, they have to care for you in this incarnation, but their sense of caring is going to be, in a way, quite grudging. You may feel at times that you're born into a family and they didn't want you, and that you're a nuisance and they want to get rid of you. So just be aware of what you're taking on here. So that goes on to your sacred contract, the contract with yourself, with your soul, that you draw up before you come into incarnation. And normally that would... you would work out all those perhaps 20 or 30 pieces of karma that you want to expunge or to balance out, to create a harmony within yourself, that you would do this normally between the age of 30 and the age of 50. So we have a saying that the age of 49 is the end of karma. And that should have been the end of the tumultuous and perhaps fragmented or a very difficult relationship with probably both parents. But very few people are able to cut off precisely at the age of 50. That takes a fair bit of spiritual training. And even then it's difficult. So for most people, that fading out of karma and that separating from people with whom you had that very heavy karmic relationship takes about 7 years. So you're 55, that's 6 years ago, 56. Yes, I think that you are moving through a remarkable period of change in your life, and you're just now, I think, getting the first inklings of how major a change this is going to be. Then it will take you until about the age of 58 to make the adjustments to these relationships. At the moment, there's still a lot of energy, a lot of angst, a lot of fire, a lot of disharmony in all these old relationships. So relationship with your son, probably your ex, parents, yep. all karmic, and it will take 7 years. Sorry, for you, it's going to take longer. It's going to take 9 years for all that to resolve, and it will resolve. You're going to have to work to make it resolve, but you will have the resolve to make it resolve, if you can follow what I'm saying. Because starting this year, your life moves into a phase where you revisit, reconsider, and rethink the way you relate to people, the way you create relationships with people. And you will meet, in turn, over the next about 2.5 to 3 years, what should take about the age of 58, that's correct. Over that time, you will have to resolve all these relationships that are currently in disarray. And you should be able to do that. It's going to take effort, but more than that, it takes a willingness to look at self and to look at causes, reactions, and effects within your own emotional energies. Well, I think we should come and have a look here at the aura. First colour, light rose, well, chalcopyrite. And it's, if I just saw that colour, I would have said, as I've already indicated, why on earth would you become a behavioural therapist? You should have been an artist, or possibly a psychic. You should have been somewhere where you could express that immense creative, artistic energy that the light rose represents. Light rose is a very difficult energy in some ways. It flows out towards the world, and it doesn't have the ability that its sister colour, light red, does to make connections. Rather, it flows out without being able to easily set or accept boundaries. So that when you've got that light rose, you may want to love everyone. Well, that's all very well, but not everyone is lovable. And some people don't want to be loved. And the light rose can confuse love with emotional and physical attraction. Mind you, the rest of the human race isn't so good about making that distinction either. But just with light rose, it can be a bit fluffy, a bit airy-fairy, a bit off the planet, really. It's lucky that the second colour balances that and pulls it in check, so to speak. And the second colour is a light yellow-brown. And with that, I can understand why you become a behavioural therapist. I think that's, both those words are very significant here, because the light yellow-brown brings with it certain abilities of discrimination, the ability to discriminate. I don't mean that you're discriminating against other people. I mean that you can discriminate different values, different actions. You can analyze. That's got a good connection to logic. It's also focused on finance and on money, and you might find that you, with the light red, the light rose, has got wonderful high ideals about perhaps financial situation and creating a beautiful home. Light rose is always connected with beauty. So the light rose can create unrealistic expectations, which the particularly in terms of finances, business, occupation. I won't say career, because that's actually different from an occupation. Occupation is what you do to earn money. Career is soul's purpose. And if you can express the soul's purpose through your occupation, then your occupation also becomes your career. And you're very fortunate, because not many people experience that. Light rose around the hands, darker browns around the feet and the shins, the legs. The darker browns in those areas are excellent, because they keep you grounded and means that you can take practical steps to achieve goals. So you don't just say, set a goal and make it very abstract. You prefer, or you're better with setting goals that have a connection between where you are now and where you want to be. And you're quite persistent. You can be quite tenacious in going after personal and life goals. Darker blues from the shoulders, deep blues from the shoulders, indicating a deep spiritual connection. But the fact that the blue is so dark means that this is an avenue that you haven't explored properly in this incarnation, so that you are operating, so to speak, off old memories and old understandings, perhaps what your parents told you. Whereas when you start working for spirituality, with your own spirituality, then all sorts of old ideas and old information and perhaps misinformation will start lighting up within you and start falling into place. Life will start falling into place like a jigsaw, where you're finally assembling the pieces correctly. So just remember that spirituality is what's going to, or spiritual vision, spiritual understanding is what's going to lift you out of the terrible life situation that you find yourself in at present. Of course, coming for a spiritual reading, that's a very good first step. Within the head, again, light yellow brown, but it's mixed with orange, but it's not quite mixed. They're sort of yellow brown up about the eyes, and then there's a layer of orange sitting on top, and they're not really mixing, which is a very interesting combination of colours to have in the head. What it really means is that you are experiencing two distinct modes of thinking. One is what I'd call survival. You want to survive. That's the yellow-brown, and so your focus is on improving your finances, paying off a mortgage perhaps, organizing your family situation so that there's more stability, or at least some sort of reliability within it. But then the orange sits on top of that, and orange is quite rebellious. Orange says, oh, I'm just sick and tired of all the fuss. I'm sick and tired of all the drama. What I need to do is what I need to do, not what someone else wants me to do, expects me to do. I want to do what I need to do. And it's the seeds, so to speak, of individuality. And the vortex, which is the colour that comes from the spiritual world into the head, is also orange, which means that you are going to get an enormous dose of individuality, individual energy, and a huge dose of independence, if you like. Starts with the thinking, and then it just creates an independent life. In the next phase of your life. And the next phase of your life is going to be much better than the last phase of your life. When you get into your 60s, you should find that that is a really good decade. And that's a decade when you should explore and expand. And engage in the new. So I'll just put that out there. I hope you still have this reading when you're 60 and listen back to it. Then there are greens, not as a real colour, but just sort of little clouds of green here and there on the outside of the aura. It's not a third colour yet, but it has the potential of being drawn together and creating healing, first of all within yourself and then within others. The influencing colours, the cosmic colours as we see them at present, above the head, a light, very light blue, and below the feet, interestingly enough, yellows. The influencing colours are not part of the aura, they are, so to speak, gifts from the spiritual worlds, and if you work with the energies they represent, then in time to come, they will be part of your aura, and they will give you, there'll be added gifts, added insights. So the light blue above the head represents that there is, I'm trying to find the words here, it's quite hard, but you could almost call it a spiritual awakening, that your head, your understandings will become much clearer. And below the feet, the yellows say you need to use your thinking to create your direction and your goals for the future. You cannot work off emotions. You can't allow yourself to be blackmailed by other people emotionally or financially or anything like that. Now, I'm going to return to the aura colours. We'll just say a few things about each of the colours. Oh, Melody just sent me a mental message. I haven't given the over-self. And, yes, I like this one. The symbol of the over-self is a communication from the seed of divinity within us. That seed is the holiest, most sacred part of a human being, and no clairvoyant can see into that. Only you can see into that. That's why only you can say, I am. But fortunately, for those of us who practice clairvoyance in various forms. The seed of divinity, the Christ self, the I am, whatever you want to call it, creates a little picture. And this is just above your head, about 2 inches, perhaps closer, 1.5 inches, above the head. And it's a picture of you dressed in male clothes, standing on your head, on a little platform, a plinth, I suppose you'd call it. And you've upside down, you seem to be quite happy upside down. You've got your arms crossed, as though it's quite effortless for you to maintain this upside down position. You've become very good at it, obviously. Now, we'll come back to that at the end of this consultation, and we will discover what your I am, your Christ self, is trying to say to you. The light rose, that is your soul colour. It's what you came here to express, and it's a difficult colour to work with for most people. As I've said, it's associated with intense artistic nature, and often people with light rose as the first colour are artists in some way, shape, size or form. And obviously that's not been your path in this incarnation, but I would encourage you to work in any artistic form that takes your fancy, particularly actually visual art. Anything that creates harmony, anything that creates communication. It's interesting that you had an incarnation in India in about the 14th century, where you were in a male body then, and you practiced a form of yoga that required intense visualization. So you would visualize complex scenes and complicated geometric shapes. And it was part of your work with people. You grew so powerful in the sense of visualization that you could actually use it to create forms that would go off and do something for you. So people would come to you and ask you to help them. And sometimes you were good and sometimes you were bad, because you didn't just use that power for good. You could use it to heal people at a distance. You could also use it to make someone sick, or to put a curse on someone, so to speak. And so you grew very powerful in that incarnation, but eventually the villagers grew tired of you, because you were using that power to manipulate them and make yourself comfortable, and they rose up in revolt. And they burned you, that you were in the hut, and they locked the door, set fire to the hut, and burned you alive. Now, the instigator of that was a woman, and this is an individual that you would be closely connected to in this incarnation. She probably incarnated as your mother in this life. And that would say to me that there's some pretty severe karma between you and your mother. And you might find that sometimes the relationship becomes really destructive, really painful, because she brought you a lot of pain. But then on the other hand, you gave her a lot of pain too in that incarnation. You managed to kill her then husband. So, by and large, there's a fair bit of equilibrium need to happen. And her natural impulse is to take from you, which is not really what a parent's supposed to do, or to take away from you, just as she took all your possessions away from you in that incarnation. You might find that she's trying to not steal, but she might be trying to manipulate you financially or extract money or property from you at some stage in this life. Course, she might want to move in with you when she gets old and decrepit and needs a lot of help, and that would be stealing something from you. That would be stealing your life from you. So that's probably not going to happen. Incarnation in Italy at the very end of the 14th century, in the very beginning of the 15th century, here you are in a female body. You are a countess or something. You're married to the count, obviously, or you wouldn't be a countess. But the name that presents itself is Padua, so I'm not quite sure where that is in Italy, but you had a connection with Padua. And there, the castle was attacked by the armies of one of the warlords at that time. And you made your husband put on his armor. He didn't want to go and fight. He wanted to make peace, surrender. But you read him the Riot Act and said, "No, you've got to go out and protect me and look after me." And so you sent him out, and just as he feared, he got killed in the battle. The castle was taken, and you were made a prisoner of war. You did quite well out of that, though, because you married the Duke who killed your husband. Boy, there's got to be some of these people around now, Nikki. Probably in family situations, if you've got a family member who's resentful towards you and doesn't want to help or wants to react and run in the opposite direction, perhaps not even want to have anything much to do with you, because they remember in their turn that you sent them out to be killed. So they don't want to risk being killed again. Of course, they don't know that, but that's how the unconscious works. The interesting thing is that in that incarnation, you were a great patron of the arts, and you didn't paint yourself, but you had a very keen eye for artistic talent. So you would go and commission paintings and artworks from the great artists of the day. Should still have the ability to create beauty in the era around you. still from the light rose. Interesting incarnation in, I suppose it's the 14th century again. This seems to have been a very important era, because you incarnated three times in 200 years, which is unusual. But here you had a connection with Martin Luther, the reformer who created the Protestant Church. You were a young boy when Martin Luther proclaimed the independence from the Catholic Church, and you grew up associated with his teachings and also with a group of similarly minded young men who were part of the, I suppose you'd call it the precursor to the Rosicrucian society that came into being in the early 15th century. You were a writer in that incarnation, and also an alchemist. So quite a lot of, you had a very inquisitive mind. Perhaps that some of that's there today. You liked to explore and to know how things worked and to create, be creative, very, very creative person. And the other brothers sent you out on a journey to communicate with a group of like-minded souls in Spain. But there you were seized by the Inquisition and tortured. And you didn't give up your fraternity. And so that the power of keeping your vows in that incarnation should give you the ability to be very strong and to persist and to be tenacious and to be stubborn even at times. All good and useful qualities. The second colour, the light brown, yellow, that's a much more measured colour. Whereas the light rose is all about living from the heart and wanting to love everyone if possible, the yellow brown is a much more measured approach to life. And it's probably good that you've got that. It acts like a bit of a sensor upon you. Gives you the ability to reflect, to look at self. And it's the beginnings of spiritual work, I suppose I would say. Spiritual work doesn't come from emotions. We already have lots of that. It comes from thinking, and thinking into existence. And we've already seen that you had an incarnation where you were able to do that. Incarnation in the 18th century. Here I see you on a ship in a male body, and you're the ship's doctor. And the ship was the naval ship, wasn't the British Navy, might have been the Dutch Navy. And it was going from place to place and making maps and creating trade. And you were, you helped make the maps there, but you also had an interest in the plants and animals of the various islands that you visited. You were moving through the southern hemisphere, touched at what is now Indonesia and visited Hawaii. Oh, yes. Your ship was trading all throughout that region. One of your tasks was also to help keep track of the cargo manifests and to keep track of the behavior of people on the crew, to make sure that they stayed healthy and that they're you're very good at spotting when someone was likely to become ill and assisting them to stay in good health through food and diet as far as you could. So that would bring into this incarnation ability to look at people and see perhaps causes or problems within them, see what's ailing them, see the causes of different behaviours. It's a bit of a temptation to catalogue and pigeonhole too, to say, oh, this is such and such a syndrome, or that's such and such a malady. So you have to be careful to balance the analytical aspect with the intuitive aspect of the light rose. But as I've said, the light rose should make you very intuitive and able to tune into other people. Sometimes that super intuitiveness is very difficult to handle, and you need to what we call seal the aura, because your aura, if it's not protected on a daily basis, especially in your line of work, it picks up feelings, emotions, negative thoughts, positive thoughts too, from people and the social environment around you. It's a bit like a magnet attracting iron filings, all these little negative things. They just get glued into your aura. So you would be very much helped by certain spiritual practices like sealing the aura and learning to connect with the real self, as you might call it, on a daily basis. The deep blues show your deep connection with spirit, not so much in this incarnation, although obviously you've got a high level of spirituality anyway, but you had an incarnation in the 2nd century, I think. You were a slave. I wonder where that person who owns you is in this life. But you were a young man in that incarnation. And you were a member of the Christian sect, as it was. You got betrayed by someone who had a grudge against you, and although your master, the slave owner, tried to save you, they were unable to, and you were dragged before the magistrate and told you had to abandon the rules of the Christian faith and worship the emperor. And when you refused to do this, gee, you must have a bit of a stubborn streak, that's the second time seeing you refuse to do what someone else told you. When you refused to do that, you were thrown to the arena where you were eventually killed by wild animals. And you died praying, so that when you were killed, the blood poured out of the heart into the earth as a sacrifice. And that creates a connection with the, I think I'm going to call it the power of Christ, if you like, the reality of Christ, that lives within the heart, and that although sometimes from incarnation to incarnation it becomes stultified and it becomes dogmatized, nevertheless the Christ impulse dwells within you as a living impulse. And for that reason, you really want to see the best in everyone. You can't accept that you can't love everyone. Well, of course you can love everyone. You just can have to love from a distance sometimes, because sometimes to love is to give people their distance. And I suspect that at times in this incarnation you've cried tears of blood. You probably felt as though your heart was bursting open. And in a sense it was, because you've been thrown into the arena again, the wild animals. This time are the astrals, or the emotions and instincts of other human beings. So that again, you would have come to a point in your life where you just felt life pouring out of you. Oh, I think you said to Melody at some stage you were worried about dying young. Not to worry. The reason that you have that fear is because you had incarnations, and particularly one quite recently, where you did die young. You died young in the arena, and that, strangely enough, is a powerful influence on this life. I'm not quite sure why that particular life should be so potent, but it is. So that there's an element of sacrifice in this incarnation, except that this time you have the option. You don't have to be stubborn. You don't have to stick with, principles, but stick with what you think is the right thing to do. You might have to become quite revolutionary or evolutionary in the way in which you think about relationships, painful relationships within the life. You don't have to be hurt by them. You can separate, distinguish, put boundaries, create boundaries within some of these relationships, and refuse to be hurt by them. If you don't enter into interactions with someone who is angry with you or has a grudge against you, if you don't enter into any interactions with that person, allow them to be that who they are, and not be drawn in emotionally. Just realize that's their gig, that's their trip. They need to feel angry, they need to hurt people, that's their thing, but I don't have to be involved. Then you will find, miraculously, and it takes a while, that relationship will heal. Just allow the other person to work it out. Incarnation quite recently in the 20th century, you were living in a Jewish family, so you were a Jew, a young girl in Poland, I think, And at the start of World War II, the Nazis rounded up your family and sent you to a concentration camp. And you died there very young. You died there of malnutrition, much to the grief of your parents. But because you died so young, because you died before the age of 12, when the astral body starts forming, there is a nagging fear there that you're going to die young. Again, obviously you're well past the age of 12, so I wouldn't be too worried. So if those thoughts come, it's the unresolved experiences of the previous incarnation. The vortex, I've called it individuality, but I could also call it Christ, it indicates that there is the potential for spiritual awakening. And by that, I don't mean that you go off and join a church or a cult or a yoga group or anything like that. Spiritual awakening means awakening to the reality of your own spiritual nature. As human beings, we're part human, part animal, part whatever, but we also are partly divine. And sometimes it takes many years for that divine self to be able to fight through the pains and traumas and fixations of life into awareness. The Book of the Soul has, as I've said, on the left-hand side, a little verse. Well, it's actually all I see at the moment is a title, but it says to sacrifice. Now, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but this life is one of sacrifice. It's also one of service, and it's one of releasing, letting go, and assisting others to release and to let go. And this doesn't happen very often without a lot of pain. And the reason I can't see much more than the title and what I'm explaining to you about what the title means is that you have not yet come to that phase of life where your purpose is going to really be able to exert itself. So you don't enter into purpose till after you've finished your karma. You're too busy finishing your karma up until about the age of 50. And now you can start thinking about purpose in the next part of this incarnation. The symbol of the over-self, it's you in the form of almost a statue standing on your head, or upside down, head on the plinth, on the little platform, and you've got your arms crossed, and you're quite content with the way things are, because you think this is the way that things should be. But see, Spirit is saying, you're seeing everything upside down, back to front. You need to do a flip. Not just a gradual turning around, you need to completely flip. So that the way you've been looking at things, of how they are spiritually. So where you perceive pain in relationships and antagonism and hostility, if you look in the mirror and turn it upside down, it may be that those relationships which cause the worst pain are what you need to do most in order to build strength and I won't use the word resilience because I don't think that's true, but strength and determination and objectivity. So I think that you'll find a lot of your understandings of life and of people become quite different in the next 3 or 4 years. It's, as I said, a perfect time for entering into new understandings of relationships. It's the next 3 years are really a relationship redefining time. And I suspect there's going to be a lot of friction in certain relationships, particularly people who are in a partnership basis. And it won't resolve until about March next year. From March next year, you'll have sorted a lot of things out and you'll be able to move forward. Good time to build new partnerships, by the way, and to build partnerships and create relationships in a realistic way. But I think when the best time the best way to do that is to make haste slowly. Slowly, slowly. Don't be in a hurry. Allow things to grow. Relationships are like planting a seed. You have to water them, you have to look after them, you have to keep the pests away, you have to fertilize them. Just allow these relationships to grow at their own rate. And you will find then that you've built a foundation in about 2 to 3 years' time from which you can work with other people and perhaps one other person in particular, because there is someone coming into your life who should engage with you in a relationship or partnership sense. And I think that you have involuntarily poured your heart out in this incarnation so far. It has been one of sacrifice. I'm sure there's lots of things that you've had to give up that you would love to have in your life, especially the love of family and partners. That's really difficult. But as you move forward in the next 10, 15 years, allow that sacrifice to be something that enables you to build for other souls. And then the sacrifice has a point. It's really hard to say any more than that at the moment, but it's possible. I think you'll find this happens for you, to move to a level of understanding and vision where we are not involved, but instead we see clearly the needs, the pains of other souls, and then we can pour out from ourselves evenly, justly, and responsibly to help other souls achieve that same level of equanimity, stability, understanding, serenity, and inner peace. And that would be a really great purpose as it evolves in the next 10, 15, 20 years. So shall it be.